Hi, and welcome to the 54th episode of the Language Mandarins podcast. My name is Jonathan, and today is Cinco de Mayo in Mexico, which is not Mexican Independence Day. So if you are celebrating heavily in the United States, for example, and you think that this is like the national holiday for Mexicans, you're a little off. The reality is actually today is not really a national holiday. It's like its biggest importance is in the city of Puebla, where the Battle of Puebla obviously took place in 1862 when the French armies invaded Mexico. So a lot of people kind of get the history a little kind of confused. So I'm going to kind of go back and give you a 10-minute brief Mexican history over the last 500 years. There were first Aztecs living in Tenochtitlan, which today is Mexico City, and they had these really big imposing temples, and they were very powerful, intimidate a lot of local communities and force them to pay tribute, and otherwise they would take people hostage and sacrifice them from time to time from the temples. For some reason in the Aztec mythology, there was the personification of Quetzalcoatl. Out of sheer coincidence, when Hernan Cortes arrived in 1519 with the intent to kind of invade Mexico City and take it over, he was actually welcomed into the city and treated like a god because, unfortunately, the local Aztecs considered him, oh, this must be the human representation of the deity Quetzalcoatl. They did not suspect anything of his intentions. Then he tried to, overthrow, I think it was Cuauhtémoc, and burn his feet in hopes to kind of get information about where gold was being stored. And then, he didn't get any information out of him, so I think Cuauhtémoc died. Then his son, Moctezuma, assumed power. And there was, I think, an attempt to overthrow the people in Tenochtitlan, but they were completely overthrown. No, they were pushed back and forced to withdraw from Mexico City, and that was called the Noche Triste, like the sad night. And I think Cortes managed to escape to the area of like Tacuba, and then he withdrew from the area, and I think it was another 2 years until like 1521 that he was able to acquire a large enough alliance of surrounding nations that were fed up with the Aztecs. And then he was able to attack Mexico City since it was located on an island in the middle of a lagoon. So then Cortes claimed New Spain for the Spanish throne. And then about 300 years go by, and then there is the Spanish independence. The people like Miguel Hidalgo and Morelos, Allende, Miguel Allende. So there's a lot of people from the region of Querétaro. Miguel Hidalgo was from the city of Dolores. And there was going to be an uprising. And then that information was leaked. I forget how. And then so they had to kind of start the independence early. So that was on September 16th. So that's actually the real Mexican Independence Day. And today, the bell that Miguel Hidalgo rang in the city of Dolores was moved to the Palacio Nacional, the National Palace in Mexico City. And that is the bell that the president rings on September 15th when he gives the famous Grito de Dolores, the shout, or which is a reenactment of Miguel Hidalgo's speech of saying Viva México, and then Vivan los héroes que nos dieron patria, the long live the heroes who gave us the fatherland or the motherland. So that was the revolution of 1810, which ended in, I think, 1821. Then into the 1840s, then you get a conflict with the United States where there was some no man's land in between Texas and Mexico, and this became a cause for war. The U.S. Army invaded Mexico and even sacked Mexico City, and there was the Chapultepec Castle, which at the time was being used as a kind of a military academy, and there were cadets who refused to surrender. One of them, I think it was Juan Escutia, who wrapped himself in the Mexican flag and basically jumped out the window to his death. And there were other cadets as well who refused to surrender and who died in that fight against the American army. And to this day, they are called the Niños Héroes, like children heroes, but apparently they were not children. They were at least about 17, 18 or so. And some people debate whether that was a very heroic thing to do. So that was in the 1848, I think. And unfortunately, depending on your perspective of which country you're from, the general Santana basically gave away to the United States the territories of New Mexico, Arizona, and part of Colorado and that area. So that was a huge amount of land that United States was able to acquire in the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. Then in the 1850s, Benito Juarez became president, and he realized that Mexico was heavily indebted to European countries like England, Spain, and France. And he basically said, sorry guys, we're bankrupt. We're not going to be able to pay you guys back. Tough luck. The countries, they were very angry about this, and they decided, okay, they're going to do a coalition to invade Mexico and get their money back. Initially, England and Spain were very adamant about this, and then they finally kind of gave up and let France continue. So France, under the support, I believe it was Napoleon III, was organizing this. So the French army invaded Mexico, and this was 1862. And they were able to get to the city of Puebla, but the Mexicans were able to stop them from moving forward. So that was the Battle of May 5th, 1862, in which the city of Puebla was able to defend itself with General Zaragoza. And that is the famous Cinco de Mayo battle. But unfortunately, eventually the French did win. And then because of the European monarchies at the time, they had Maximilian of Habsburg become Emperor Maximilian of Mexico. So he was in Mexico basically the same exact time as the American Civil War. And the only reason why France and this was able to take over and be in power in Mexico at that time is because the Civil War meant that the American government was not able to uphold the Monroe Doctrine, which was basically telling European colonizing powers, stay out of the Americas. The Americas are sovereign. And because Americans in the Civil War were not able to kind of take care of foreign affairs at the time, they had much more urgent matters to deal with at home. So France was able to kind of move in and attack Mexico. And then Benito Juarez in exile in northern Mexico was finally able to get enough, I think, military support. And then to have a coup d'etat to take over and overthrow Maximilian. And then Maximilian was, I think, taken to Querétaro was publicly executed. But before his execution by a firing squad, I think there's a very famous letter from Victor Hugo, who sent a letter to Benito Juarez to plead with him to let Maximilian live and to just go back to Europe. But Benito Juarez, having been fully aware of the meddling of foreign countries such as the United States, France, Spain, and so on, decided to send a very clear message to colonizing powers to say, you know what, guys, we've had enough. Stay out of our business. And so he had Maximilian executed. And I think that did send a rather clear message. Later on, there was the dictatorship of Porfirio Diaz, who just kept getting voted in and voted in because he just did not allow for any opposition to be able to successfully run against him in a campaign. So he was dictator for 30 or so years, I think. And when he, I think he finally decided to step down or something, that instigated the Mexican Revolution of 1910. And there were these factions between, I think it was Huerta, Zapata, I forget who else, maybe Pancho Villa. I forget some of all the details in there. And again, the United States decided to meddle in Mexican politics, and there was this really obscure story. You can find this on Wikipedia, in which there was a lot of gun smuggling, and I think there was an embargo during the revolution to do trade with the different Mexican factions who were trying to gain power. So there was this attempt to, because there were American gun manufacturers at the time who wanted to continue to do business, I think they had a shipment of guns sent to Germany, then kind of to mask the fact that they were American guns, then had them go from Germany to Mexico. Then Woodrow Wilson, I believe, found out that there were German guns being sent to Mexico, and because he decided he didn't, I forget which side he didn't like, and he kind of was a moralizing figure, he decided to send Navy fleets to block the port of Veracruz so that these guns would not arrive in the hands of one of the sides. And then when Veracruz was invaded and defeated, there was actually like a year of occupation in the city of Veracruz by American military. It was just a very crazy account in modern history about 100 years ago. Since then, I think things have somewhat calmed down, except for all the drug trafficking and all of those shenanigans. But that's about it for kind of Mexican history from about the 1500s up until about the early 1900s. So happy Cinco de Mayo. And I hope that helps you if you have to study Mexican history in a class for Spanish or in a history class. But so, salud. Oh, drinking one of my world famous margaritas. Those things are awesome. So if you're interested in taking any English classes with me or hearing more about my language mannerings, you can visit my website at hugginsinternational.com. That's H-U-G-G-I-N-S international.com. Or you can send me an email at hugginsinternational@gmail.com. Thank you very much for listening to this podcast, and take care, and we'll see you in the next podcast.